the reason I chose the number 80% is because historically, that's about where I've been. Mm-hmm. And I've accomplished really all of my health and fitness goals. And I'm setting more goals and I'll continue working towards those. But 80% consistency has yielded incredible results. It's allowed me to accomplish more than I ever thought was possible.
My name is Leigh Farnason. My brother Anders and I are on a mission to help 1 million vegans get into the best shape of their lives. We firmly believe that the more healthy and fit vegans there are in the world, the faster veganism will spread. Let's work together to inspire change, spread compassion, and challenge the status quo. Welcome to the Vegan Gym Podcast.
Hey there, my name is Leif, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Daphne Bascom. And today, we're going to be talking about our top health and fitness tips. And the original title in this document was our top five fitness tips. And if we just started with five and then started adding more and more, and I don't know how many we have now, but a lot more than five. So yeah, we've got a lot of health and fitness tips to share with you. These are going to be in no particular order. We're just going to roll through them. And hopefully you get a couple gold nuggets from this episode. So let's dive right in. One of my top tips is to have a smoothie every single day. And a smoothie has been my breakfast for nearly every day of the past year. And I just love starting my day packed with nutrition and also hydration. It's just such a great way for me to pack in micronutrients and also feel like I'm just starting my day off on the right foot. And I make a huge smoothie. My smoothie is a little over half a gallon. And
that's
then
I'll just,
I basically, if the Vitamix container was larger, it would be larger than half a gallon because I basically fill it up to the very top. And I know like to the millimeter what it needs to be for it to be kind of a full container smoothie without kind of like exploding. So anyways, I've got that kind of really dialed in as part of my routine. And I'll run through the ingredients that I personally use in my smoothie that I really love. I have frozen spinach, and this is going to be in order of how I put them into my smoothie because that also matters. It helps to blend a little bit more easily if you have the right proportions and you put them in the right order. So I start with frozen spinach. That's on the bottom. Then I add frozen blueberries. Then I add frozen mango, frozen pineapple, and then I have some True Nutrition toasted coconut protein powder, which is a flavor of protein powder that I really love. And I like True Nutrition because this one doesn't have any artificial sweeteners and it also only has a few ingredients. It has pea protein, some coconut flavor, some, I guess they call it like natural flavors, but coconut flavor, and then some stevia. Mm-hmm. I think it's stevia. That's the protein powder I use, and I generally have a scoop and a half of that, which ends up being something on the order of 40 grams of protein. And then I add some wheat germ and flaxseed. So the wheat germ is a new addition, and that was inspired by Dr. Greger and his latest book, How Not to Age. So I've got some wheat germ, have some flaxseed, then I add some fresh turmeric root, and also some fresh ginger root. So I absolutely love ginger. It's a really great way to add a little kick to the smoothie. And it just, the flavors work really well with everything else. This does sound like a bunch of different flavors, but I promise you it works. And it tastes really good, at least to me. And you could decide to try this out and make some changes if you want. But I actually had not had turmeric root probably, I don't remember ever having it prior to like a year ago. Mm-hmm. And you could just use a powder, but I like using the fresh. And I guess you're kind of blending it into a powder of sorts, but it's not dried before. And I put pretty much all of this in the freezer. So I actually will take, I don't know, a half hour every month or so and buy a bunch of turmeric and ginger and just peel it and then chop it up and then put it into a little container that I put into the freezer. And then I can just grab a little piece and put in my smoothie every day. So I don't need to always be peeling fresh turmeric and ginger, which can be a little laborious. And also turmeric will make your hands yellow. So you don't really want to do that every single day. And then that's it for ingredients. Then I submerge everything with filtered water, blend it up, and it's good to go. And a 1/2 gallon smoothie will kind of generally last me throughout the morning. I kind of just sip on it. And it's a really great way to, again, just kind of start my day with hydration and start my day packed with nutrition. So that's my kind of main smoothie. And that's really, I used to have oatmeal every single morning, and this smoothie has replaced the oatmeal. And I do kind of go through different phases with my nutrition and kind of have different go-to meals. And I kind of generally evolve that over time.
Is this a post-workout smoothie or a pre-workout? Or
this is a post-workout smoothie. So I do, yeah, I will generally have a protein shake before training as well. So this would be kind of my main breakfast, mm-hmm. which I have after I train.
Okay.
So that is kind of my first tip, is just have some kind of smoothie. And I think it's just such a great way to pack in nutrition. And I rather have veggies like spinach, which is what I use in here. I rather just be able to drink that instead of chewing on veggies. And I love veggies, so I'll include those in my meals in other ways. But it's just a really great way to pack in lots of nutrition without having to chew. Because if I just poured all this out into like onto a plate and had to chew it, it would take me probably 2 hours of straight chewing to get through it.
And there's a little sweetness in there. So it satisfies your other cravings if you want to have something sweet in the day, in the morning.
Yeah. And I used to use bananas as kind of the foundation for all my smoothies. And I still love using bananas, but it will kind of cause your smoothie to start, not that it goes bad, but it starts looking a little sad even after like even after like half an hour, it'll start looking a little sad. So I found that using mango in kind of direct replacement of bananas is a really great move. And another really easy smoothie that has just this beautiful green color is using a handful of spinach or a couple handfuls of spinach and then frozen mango, some kind of protein powder, and then some kind of plant-based milk.
Mm-hmm.
If you use that all together, it just tastes delicious. It also has a lot of nutrition. That's a really great swap for just having a regular protein shake in water or something, which I personally am totally fine with doing as long as you have the right protein powder, but not everyone loves just having protein powder with water. So having some kind of smoothie and doing that on a regular basis is my first tip. Next tip, if you struggle with losing weight or maintaining your weight, try pushing your calories later into the day. So this may kind of generally be an intermittent fasting kind of approach. And when I am working to lose fat, I get really hungry, and maybe more accurately, hangry. And that's something that I've always struggled with. Like whenever I focus on fat loss, my body just like really gets hungry. So intermittent fasting itself does not have any magical weight loss ability. There's no fat loss benefits to moving your calories later in the day. But I find it personally to be beneficial to condense my calories to the second half of the day, because I can kind of power through any hunger that I have in the beginning of the day, knowing that I have a bunch of calories later. And the alternative, having more calories in the beginning of the day and then kind of feeling hungry in the afternoon and evening and going to bed hungry, is something I really can't do. I really struggle with that. Yeah. And then it super feels like some kind of diet that's unsustainable, and I don't want to do that. So yeah, intermittent fasting does not have any magical fat loss ability, but it can help you to feel more satiated throughout the day. At least that's what works for me. You can experiment with different forms of how you structure your calories throughout the day, but that's what's worked really well for me. And if you are struggling to lose fat because you're feeling hungry, try that approach and see how that works for you. Another tip is always strive to build meals around a main protein source. I really do this across the board, and I personally define a quote unquote main protein source as having at least 25% of their calories coming from protein. For example, really all beans are a great source of protein, but not all beans really kind of check that box. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are all plants contain protein. All plants can be helpful additions to your total daily protein intake, but it's really valuable to build your meals around a main protein source to help ensure that you maintain a high protein intake throughout the day. So some of my favorite main protein sources, I eat quite a bit of soy foods. So soy milk, tofu, soy curls. I love edamame. I don't actually have edamame that often, usually just when I go to like Asian restaurants or something, but I love edamame. And tempeh also can be thrown into the soy food category, but that is not really my go-to. I much prefer tofu. If you had to choose one, would you?
Oh, tofu. Say
tofu.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on tempeh?
Ick. I'll eat it.
Okay, that's pretty much how I feel. Yeah, it's kind of just, it's kind of a little weird when you think about it.
I'll eat it out. And I think, I don't know if it's because I don't know how to prepare it well, but it is not on my favorite food list.
Yeah, if you slice it up and marinate it in some kind of teriyaki sauce or even like barbecue sauce.
Like a tempeh bacon.
That and make some kind of tempeh bacon, that can taste really good. But yeah, tofu, I just find to be much more palatable. And not just palatable, I love tofu. Another example of a main protein source would be seitan. That's actually something I don't have that often, but it is a really great protein source. And then as far as some other legumes go, we have fava beans, lupini beans, and lentils. All of those are good sources of protein and have over 25% of their calories coming from protein. So if you want some go-to legumes, those would be great sources. And then also some legume-based pastas. So two pastas that I really love are one, the Explore Cuisine Edamame and Mung Bean Fettuccine. That is delicious. And then another one is Bonza Chickpea Pasta. So I have quite a bit of that. The Edamame and Mung Bean Fettuccine is extremely high in protein. I don't remember the exact percentage, but I think it's over 40%. It might even be kind of coming up on 50%. So heck of a lot of protein coming from that pasta. All right, next tip. Walking is a super underrated tool for weight loss, in my opinion.
Yes.
And even a few years ago, I would have thought, yeah, walking, like what's the point? That's not a good tool for fat loss, but it actually really is. And what I love about it is it's a really great low impact form of activity that you can do throughout the day. And you are not going to, you're likely not going to be sweating as you're walking around. It also gets you out and about, so you can go out and kind of de-stress by taking a little walk throughout the day. And there are just so many benefits to walking and maintaining what a high non-exercise activity level. So we define any activity that is not directly meant to be exercise, such as going to the gym or running around on a basketball court or whatever. We define that as non-exercise activity. And it's also known as NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. So that walking is just such a great way to burn a ton of extra calories and also keep your stress levels low. Get outside in nature if you have access to some kind of path through nature. It's just a really great way to stay, operate at a lower stress level and also get in some more activity. So I think if you historically have not done much walking, I think starting out with something like a 5K per day step goal is a really great place to start. And you can track this on your phone. You can track it with an Apple Watch. There are so many different devices that you can track steps with. and you can just easily track that over time. So I think that's a great way to burn a bunch of calories. And I think it's just super underrated when it comes to weight loss. So I think when I am focusing on fat loss, I don't like to do a bunch of cardio. I might do a little bit of cardio here and there, but I don't think you don't need to spend hours on the treadmill or elliptical every week. And that is not required for fat loss. I do believe in keeping your activity level on the higher end when you're focusing on fat loss, because I'd rather move more and eat more than move less and eat less. So I do recommend that you get activity in, but it doesn't need to be any kind of high intensity or even moderate intensity activity. Walking or other really kind of low impact forms of just general activity. That could include playing with your kids in the backyard or at a park or whatever it is. Just getting some extra activity is a great way to help you either lose weight or just maintain weight and just generally feel healthier.
And if you can squeeze in a walk after your meal, it's also good for your metabolic health. So timing it with cleaning up the dinner table, getting the family together, going for a short walk, it's good for your weight loss goals, but it's also good for your overall health goals.
Yeah, I love taking a walk after dinner. That's a really great way to kind of help digest your food and just get ready or start kind of winding down and getting ready for bed. All right, next tip, 80% consistency is super underrated. And you can input kind of whatever percentage you want in there, 60%, 70%, 80%. I chose 80% for this, but the point is being consistent most of the time is what makes people successful. It's not about being 100% consistent. It's about being mostly consistent most of the time. And the reason I really want to stress this is because I think lots of people tend to have an all or nothing mindset when it comes to their health and fitness. So they're either doing everything 100% or they're throwing in the towel, giving up and saying what the heck and doing nothing and sitting on the couch. And that is the all or nothing 100% or 0% approach to health and fitness. And long term, that's just not sustainable. You're not going to be able to operate at 100% forever. And that's not even necessary to accomplish even really big goals. And I think the reason I chose the number 80% is because historically, that's about where I've been. Mm-hmm. And I've accomplished really all of my health and fitness goals. And I'm setting more goals and I'll continue working towards those. But 80% consistency has yielded incredible results. It's allowed me to accomplish more than I ever thought was possible in my health and fitness journey. And I just really want to crush the idea that you need to be perfect or be 100%, because I think that across the board, that is actually detrimental to your progress.
Would agree.
All right. Next tip, you should generally enjoy what you are eating and how you're moving your body. And if you don't enjoy what you're eating and how you're moving your body, then it's not going to work long term. So another way of phrasing this is, if you can't do it for a decade, why would you do it for a month? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think there may be a little caveat there. So if you are focusing on, like when I'm working to lose body fat, I'm not exactly following maybe, let's say, a nutrition plan that's long-term sustainable for me, but I am eating foods that I generally enjoy. And then the only difference there would be bumping up the calories to maintenance or putting myself into a calorie surplus to make the long-term sustainable aspect of my nutrition a reality. Mm-hmm. So we are huge proponents of resistance training. I think that is some kind of resistance training is really kind of vital to achieving your long-term health and fitness goals and achieving body recomposition. So losing body fats while maintaining lean muscle or building muscle over time. So resistance training is extremely powerful, but there's not just one way to train with resistance training. You can train with bands at home. You can do TRX. You can go do CrossFit. You can go to the gym and lift barbells, dumbbells. You can throw around kettlebells. There are so many different ways of training with some kind of resistance, and you don't need to paint yourself into any box. That can also evolve over time, and you can try new things. And I think that's an important part of, first of all, finding what really works for you. And then also, if something feels like it's getting a little stale, you can always change. You can always test out new things. And when it comes to your nutrition, I very firmly believe that you shouldn't deprive yourself of your favorite foods. So you can work ice cream, pizza, chocolate, really anything that you want into your diet, even when your goal is to lose weight. And obviously we need to do so in moderation. We have health goals, and these foods that I just mentioned aren't necessarily the most nutritionally dense meals, but to ensure that you have a nutrition plan that's long-term sustainable, you should be including some of your favorite foods. I just see so many, I don't love the word diets, but I see so many diets backfire because people think that the solution, think that it's bad to have chocolate or think that it's bad to have pizza. And also there are more nutritious and less nutritious options within those categories. Mm-hmm. When I make pizza, I don't typically go out and eat pizza that is laden with oil and doesn't have lots of veggies on it or whatever. Like I'll make my own. I make it higher in protein based on the toppings that I use. And you can even add something like Vital Wheat gluten into mm-hmm. the flour. You can make your own flour. You can make it higher in protein. You can add tons of veggies on top and you don't need to use oil. So there are so many ways of making some quote unquote less healthy options healthier. And I just think it's really, another example would be ice cream. Like I love ice cream. If I were to pick any dessert, it would be ice cream. And I don't really have a sweet tooth, but there are many times where I get to the end of the day and I think, well, I wouldn't mind having something a little sweet. Well, there are some tiny little protein bars that I really love. These like little peanut butter protein bars that I really love. And that kind of tends to be enough to scratch that itch. And then I also love having fresh fruit. So I'll have some apples with PB2 or PB Fit, mm-hmm. which is a powdered peanut butter. It's lower in fat, so it's lower in calories. I'll have some of that. That's another really great way of kind of scratching the itch of having something sweet. And then I'll also make my own ice cream. Yep. And I love doing that. So I'll make mango nice cream, which is super easy. I actually make mango peanut butter nice cream, which I know might sound a little weird, but I promise you it works. And again, I think mango is a really good swap for banana pretty much across the board. So everyone knows that banana and peanut butter is a good combination, but I'm here rooting for mango and peanut butter.
So you're using the mango in place of the banana for the ice cream?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I'll just use frozen mango. Yeah. Like, no, I won't even use frozen banana. Uh-huh. Sometimes I'll have frozen banana. Again, I have nothing wrong with bananas. I have probably one or two bananas on average every day, but I typically will just eat those fresh. I don't really use those in smoothies or ice cream anymore. It's become mango.
Okay.
So using some frozen mango, you just use frozen mango, use some kind of plant-based milk. I love using soy milk. So I'll use sweetened vanilla soy milk. And then I'll also add a scoop of peanut butter protein powder. And you mix all that up. Be sure to not go overboard with the amount of milk that you're using so you can get a thicker consistency and then it's more like ice cream. Uh-huh. And then it's great. It tastes like a delicious frozen dessert and it's also super healthy and you know exactly what went into it. So you've got fruit and some protein powder and some milk and that's a really great combination. That's another tip is just generally making sure that you're enjoying what you're eating and how you're moving your body. Super important. And that's key for long-term sustainability. Another tip is you don't need to train a crazy amount, but you should train with focus and intensity. When I first started getting to the gym, I thought that it was basically a requirement to work out for 2+ hours a day. And I did that for 5, sometimes 6, sometimes even 7 days a week. Ooh. And I would just...
That's hard on your body.
Kind of go in and just pound myself into pulp in the gym. And I was, after the first few years and kind of getting into a more serious training routine, it was yielding results. But in hindsight, and even now I'm working on my fitness approach, I really don't feel like you need to train anywhere close to that to get optimal results. You just need to be sure that you are training with focus and intensity. You can go in and get a super high quality workout in 30 minutes. But that's not going to happen if you're watching TV in the gym or scrolling through Instagram on your phone between sets. So yeah, obviously you need to go in there with purpose if you want to do short, efficient, and effective workouts. But I used to train a ton, put in tons and tons of hours. I just said I was doing 10+ hours a week pretty much every single week. I did that for years. You don't need to train that much, and you can make fantastic progress with 3, maybe 4 30-minute workouts per week. And then on top of that, you just generally keep your activity level high throughout the day. So you're aiming to get a 5K step count per day or maybe a 10K step count per day if you've kind of built to that point. And then just generally kind of going out, doing some hikes, playing with your kids, whatever that looks like, just generally maintaining an active lifestyle and including some kind of resistance training in there for a couple hours per week. And it's really, I think it's really that simple. And I just want to break the kind of misconception that you need to train for hours and hours to get results.
More is not always better.
That's very true. And you also need to understand, as you kind of touched on, that your body, it's time to recover. Like, you don't actually technically build your muscles in the gym. You do that as you recover. Yep. But if you're never giving your body a chance to recover from your workouts, and also you need to make sure that you're properly fueling your body with nutrition, calories, protein, and all other nutrients. So yeah, just want to really make sure that you understand training more is not necessarily better. And I think oftentimes it's not better. All right, another tip, form over everything. When it comes to training, form over everything. I can't tell you the number of, it's usually guys. I think pretty much always guys. I can't tell you the number of people I've seen, mostly guys, when you go into the gym who load up, let's say 400 pounds on squat, and then they do like a 3-inch rep.
A little baby squat.
Yeah, they do it. They're the quarter squat gang. And I have to tell you, I always admire people who are doing less weight with perfect form and full range of motion. So when I see someone who's squatting like ass to grass and just nailing their form, it could be with 100 pounds on the bar or just the bar. I don't even care. Oftentimes I'll actually go up and say, hey, awesome form, because I respect that so much, because I know, I understand the desire to load up a bunch of weight. And maybe that's probably more kind of a guy thing, but I understand wanting to throw around lots of weight and look like you're strong in the gym. But I can tell you from personal experience, the best way to get as strong as possible, and not just strong, but functionally fit as possible, the best way to do that is by just kind of putting your ego in check, dropping the weight down to some little baby weights, and then building up your strength with perfect form and full range of motion. I'm such a big believer in that. I learned this through personal experience. So I actually built my squat up to like 350-ish. And then I was watching a form video one day. Well, I didn't even take a form video. I took a video to post on Instagram. That's what I actually did. So I took a video to post on Instagram. And then I'm watching it before I'm going to post it. And I thought, okay, I got to be honest with myself. I'm not breaking parallel. And then I realized, okay, I'm going to work on this. And then I thought, I want to actually squat to full depth. And when I first started doing that, it was extremely uncomfortable. And I went from working sets with 315 down to 185, and it was more challenging. So just to put in perspective how much of a difference doing like kind of a partial squat, it was actually even pretty close to hitting parallel versus going like full ass to grass is what we call it. That difference in weight was literally like half. And that honestly kind of was a pill I had to swallow when it comes to my ego. So you need to, leaving your ego at the door when you come into the gym and just saying, hey, I'm going to be a student of perfect form and full range of motion. And I'm going to work on that. And that is where I'm going to derive my wins from. When I nail a squat with perfect form, do that with a full range of motion, that is the win. It's not how much weight I have on there. So I'm going to start with that as being the main thing I'm focusing on. And then I can build that weight up over time.
The other win is you're probably less likely to get hurt.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's huge. And honestly, now there are, as I've said, I have a love-hate relationship with basically all aspects of the gym. But there's really no better feeling than squatting all the way down with a heavy barbell on your back and kind of, I personally like pausing at the bottom, like going down and doing a pause rep and then getting up. Like that feels really great. And it's just, there are reason we're such big advocates of compound movements because they are super functional and they also work a multitude of different muscles in your body. So it just feels, I don't know, it kind of feels primal. It just feels like something your body is supposed to do. And it feels really good. So if you don't know how to execute proper form, you can honestly using YouTube videos is a pretty great way of getting started. You can use YouTube videos, watch it, and then film yourself doing the movement as well. And then just do kind of a side-by-side comparison. That's a really great way of understanding how to do proper form. And then that's a really great kind of basically free way to do it. But it really is difficult to get better than a knowledgeable trainer or coach. So if you want to invest in your health and fitness, getting somebody to take you through that process and help you to break down your form and help you to improve your form for all movements over time, that's a really great way of kind of doing that. You can also get an experienced friend if you trust that they know what you're doing. So I've worked out with a ton of my friends and helped them to get started and help to kind of break down their form. And the key part of that is making sure that they actually know what they're doing. So that's admittedly maybe a little bit challenging if you're a beginner and don't really know how to separate kind of fact from fiction there, but that's another way that you can get great results. And if your friend looks like they're executing form just like you've seen on some YouTube videos, then maybe that's a good approach and that's someone you can get some input from. And then just practicing with no weights or very light weights. Like don't,
it's a great way. Yeah.
As you are trying to nail your form, don't try to nail your form with 200 pounds on your back. Try to just start with body weight. Start without, just see how your body moves and how you function. For me, getting into like a true ass to grass squat position, I really kind of need to do some kind of heel elevated. Mm-hmm. I need some kind of platform. And usually I'll just use some kind of bumper plates that I'll put under my feet. And that really helps to get me into an ideal squat position. So I'm sure I can just fix that with some stretching, and that's another thing that I'm not great at.
Tip.
That's another tip that I should add to my list and maybe next year. But yeah, you just kind of have to find what works for you and always nail your form with light weights or really kind of no weights at the beginning if possible.
Form first and leave your ego at the door.
That was part one of our top vegan health and fitness tips. We look forward to catching you in part two next week. Thank you. To get access to some of our best content for free,
head over to thevegangym.com. We've got tons of articles and guides to help you burn stubborn body fat, build lean muscle, and supercharge your health. You can even use our vegan nutrition calculator for free to figure out how much protein, calories, and micronutrients your body needs. Get started right now at thevegangym.com.